And so I appreciate so much, again, Brother Patterson coming and preaching our revival services. You come and preach God's laid on your heart, Lord.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you glad to be in the house of God today? Well, that was a pretty good response. I guess in some churches where you get 100 people and you don't get a good response like that, amen, but praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be over to the book of Acts in chapter 16. My wife told me this morning at 8:30 on the phone to tell everybody here she said hello and that she's sorry she could not be here with you this year. And we have, I'll just give you a little bit of an update. We will not be traveling together anymore. She has not left me, amen. When it comes to traveling on the road, she physically just got a lot of problems going on. She has to have a lot of tests done, and they're getting ready to do some more tests on the muscle and nerve issues. She just a lot of muscle and nerve issues she's having right now. So, and it's to the point now where physically it's taking its toll on me, but I'm still going to go out, but I'm not going to go out for like this. I'm out 6 weeks this time. This is my last long trip. I'm going to be out that many weeks at a time. We're going to be looking for a place in Michigan to live and then sell my big trailer up there eventually. And then I'll just work out of the house, you know, and I'll travel out myself. I got just about everywhere you go, they got a prophet's chamber. If not, you can stay at one and drive to the other, you know. So I'll go out for 2 or 3 weeks maybe and then go back home. And that's going to be my new scheduling for me anyway, starting this next year. This is my last, this year I already had these booked, and so I said I'm not even going out to Maine this year, brother. I canceled all that and said I'm not going to go out to Maine or Connecticut, and I'm going to stop next week. I'm going to go back to Ohio for a week by my brother to work on this trailer here, this little one. And then we're gonna. Then I got another meeting in Ohio for 4 days, and I'm going back to Michigan. I'll be there for a week and a half. Then I got to fly to New York, and I fly into Connecticut, and then I drive into the eastern New York, right over on the state line of Connecticut, and do a 2-day meeting, and then I fly back to Michigan, and then I get all my doctor's appointments in, you know. And when I get all that in, then we're gonna head down south early this year. Take this trailer down there, and it's gonna stay there. And then if I don't ever get back down to get it, it's not worth anything, so I'm not worried about it, you know. And everything that I own will not be in there, so if anything ever happens to it, I'm not out any money. And so we're just going to do that, and if we get down there, then we'll use that. I got meetings scheduled in Florida this year, and a number of meetings scheduled in Florida this year, and so I'll get those in, and then I'll just, some of them I'm just going to drive back and forth to, because I know I'll leave her at one church I'll be parked at, and we'll be all set, amen. She's enjoying listening to somebody else preach instead of me. So she gets to listen to my son-in-law. I said, that ain't no fun, you know. He's not as good of a preacher as I am. He's an excellent preacher, you know. She's really been enjoying it there. So pray for us, if you would, please. And physically, my doctors are telling me a lot of things. I went into stage 4 kidney failure this year. My kidneys are almost, they were on the edge when I was in the hospital in Florida. And they came into my room and said, you might have to start dialysis, but my kidneys have improved a little bit since they took me off some medication. It was causing some problems for me. I've been in stage 3 for years, and I knew that. But, and when you get older, a lot of people start, their kidneys start to misfunction anyway. But all the stuff I've been on all these years sure hasn't helped it, you know. And but God's good, amen, and he knows all about it, and he takes care of us. And so just pray for us, if you would, so that's why my wife is not with me now, she still loves me, and just telling you, you know. I was in a church one time in Michigan where 3 years in a row she was not with me because I left her down with our kids, you know, she was out west and other things, and in Colorado with our daughter, and I had a pastor come. He said, somebody actually came to me yesterday and said, are you sure he's married, preacher? You sure his wife hasn't left him? He said, no, I talked to her on the phone the other day, unless she's lying, you know. So, no, God's good to us. Well, Acts chapter 16, and before I have you stand pray with me and read Scripture, let me just give you a little background here. You know, this is where Paul collects Timothy and Silas, and they're going into Asia, Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then he wanted to go into Bithynia, And the Holy Spirit told them, no, you don't go into Bithynia. Well, then they come down by Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul at night, and the man told him, you come over to Macedonia, come over to Macedonia and help us. So Paul went to Macedonia. He meets Lydia in Macedonia, and Lydia, of course, gets saved there by the river where prayer was wanting to be made, and then he takes her and he baptizes her and her whole home got saved, you know, as a result of that. And then it says in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her message much gained by soothsaying. Now I'm going to have you stand and we're going to read a portion of scripture. So we come to this point now where this damsel is possessed with a spirit of divination, a demon or a devil, as the Bible will call them. We say demons, but the Bible says devils, amen. So as you pick up in verse 17 with me, it says, the same fell upon us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, can I make this statement to you real quick? She was not doing this in a good way. I believe it was a mocking way. These men, you know, and I think she was mocking Paul and Silas at this time and making fun of them as Paul's preaching the Word of God and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or maybe she was shouting it so loud, preacher, that she was interrupting him. Paul finally had enough. Paul said, all right, that's it. So Paul says in verse 18, and she did this many days. Boy, I didn't know Paul had that much patience, amen. But now if it was Peter on the other hand, look out, amen. He had no patience. But he said, and this is, she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And a multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, which possibly could have been 39 stripes, I believe, preacher, that they could give them lawfully. I don't know if that's how many they gave them, but when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their stocks fast, or made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight. And we're going to leave off right there. I'd like to preach a message to you that's more just entitled, And at Midnight. And at Midnight. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the privilege that you've given to us to even, Father, have it possible to be able to gather together in this day and age, Lord. Lord, our government would do everything they can to shut us down. God, our government would do everything they can to shut our mouths. God, the devil would not like nothing more than that. But God, I thank you that we still have the ability to share your word and to preach your word and to encourage others through your word and to challenge people through your word. And Father, I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in our presence this morning who's not born again, please save that soul. God, help us and challenge us from your word today that you might have the honor and glory now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As I think about this morning, this and at midnight, in the dark, the midnight represents the dark. It doesn't represent the daylight. It doesn't represent the dark, the daytime. It represents the dark time. And many people go through many dark things in their life. Can I tell you this? Our country right now, pastors, in a dark time. And it might not, it's not even midnight yet, I don't believe, amen. Wait till that Antichrist comes on the scene, and we're not going to be here for that, amen. He's going to come, we're going to be gone, and aren't you glad for that? Because, boy, you're talking about darkness then, man. That's going to be a deep time of darkness, a deep time of midnight. But we are going through a dark time in our country right now, and a dark time in many people's lives. I don't know if you've read this recently, preacher, but I've just read this. I can't even remember where I picked it up at, but it was... There has been more suicide in the United States of America since this has started than ever in the history of our country at any one time. And the average person, they say, who's committing suicide, Pastor, a lot of individuals between the ages of 40 and 60 years old, who middle-aged individuals who have invested their life in something, and now they've lost everything, and they can't get anything else. And they don't know where. Not everybody has a secure job. Amen. And a lot of people have lost it. And a lot of those guys, individual, and their majority of them are white people. So it's a sad time in our country, is it not? Anybody who commits suicide is a sad time. But we need to give people Jesus Christ, amen. It's a dark time, it's a midnight time. You know what I like about this text is here Paul and Silas are taken by this jailer, and the Bible says they're put into the inner prison. That's the deepest part. That's the darkest part. That's the part where you are not going to get out of. You cannot run from that. They might have been in the outer part of the prison where they were. It'd be more like maybe someone who takes care of the grounds or something, maybe less offensive criminals, but they were cast into the inner part of the prison, the dark spot of the prison, the deep place of the prison, the hard place of the prison. And the Bible says, then he took them and he made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, I'm not sure what the stocks were, Pastor. You know, I've heard many, many different things about that. I get my idea, if you think about the 14s and the 15 and the 1600s in our country and in other countries, where they would take a piece of wood, they'd have a hole in it, and they'd lock that down on you, and you couldn't get out. I don't know if that's what those kinds of stocks were, Preacher, or if they could have just been chains. I don't know, you know, but they were shackled somehow to the where they could not move. They could not get up, had no freedom to walk around, had no freedom to move about. They were in a dark time. They were in a locked up time. They were in a time when they had been beaten. Good night, beaten for preaching the word of God. And did you notice that those individuals were not mad? Her owners were not mad because she was saying what she was saying. When she was saying it, they thought that was great. She's mocking Paul, but as soon as they cast out the devil out of her, now they're mad because now they lose all their money. They're not going to get any money for her gainsaying anymore. That just indicates to me that as soon as that happened, Brother Rice, I think a change took place in her life. Amen. I tell you what, when salvation comes to you, a change takes place. A change takes place. You say, Brother Mike, nothing's ever changed in me, then I guarantee you that you're either lying or you ain't been saved. Just that simple. There's no two ways about it. It's either one or the other. That's it. You're lying or you're not saved if no change has ever taken place. Well, the Bible says here, I want to come now, here's the message I want to come to. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And he's got a comma. So he's got a thought there, but he's going to continue that thought in a moment. So he says, Paul and Silas prayed. Can I tell you that at midnight we saw praying here. Praying. Psalm 32, verse 6 through 7 says this. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Aren't you glad that you got a time when God can be found right now and you can talk to him? We can go to the throne of grace boldly, the book of Hebrews says, continually to him, and seek his face and ask what he would have us to do and to help us. But he makes a statement, he finishes that, referring to Noah and the flood. He says, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. They can't get to him. When it's done, it's done. And when it's over, it's over. I'm glad I have a time now when I can seek God's face, when I can come before him, and when he's not rejecting me, amen. Because he's going to reject the world who has not received him as their Savior. He's going to turn his back on them, and then that tribulation period is going to hit, Preacher. And all these people who receive that mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of the beast, the Bible says all three of them, whoever gets, they're not going to have an opportunity to be saved. It's going to be done. It's going to be like a Noah in the flood. There's not going to be. They can't get in. You can pound on that ark door all you want, and the door's not going to open because you've rejected God and rejected Jesus Christ. Amen. A time of midnight. There needs to be a time now of prayer for our world, and our country, and our people, and our churches. Now. He goes on to say in that verse 37, thou art my hiding place. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad I got a hiding place. thou shalt preserve me from trouble. I'm glad that God preserves me. It doesn't mean you won't go through trouble. Amen. Doesn't mean you won't go through difficulties or hardships. Doesn't mean that sometimes, Brother David, doesn't mean that sometimes it might not get a little dark. Amen. But we got light. We got the hope of the world. We've got Jesus Christ to turn to and to come to and to trust in and to walk with. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. See, law. He says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. Pray unto thee. We need to come in prayer to a holy, righteous God. David, when he was in a cave. David in a cave. Hey, how many of you ever been in the caves? Caverns? Anybody here ever been to a cavern at all? Or a cave? You know they do that fancy thing to you. You get down that cave, preacher. Yeah, then or they'll say, put your hand in front of your face, and then they shut off the light and say, can you see your hand? No, you can't see your hand. I always wanted to do this to the person next to me. Miss Becca. Would scare him half to death. Can you imagine somebody getting scared? Well, I tell you what, man, that probably would scare me half to death if somebody did that to me. That just shows you how wicked my mind is thinking sometimes, amen. But David, in a cave, when he was in that cave, he says this in Psalm 142:1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Doesn't mean he was weeping. Maybe he was, but he wasn't weeping because it was dark. But he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. In the dark time. In the dark time. In the midnight of your life. In the midnight, some people are in midnight during the day because of what they're going through in their life. Acts chapter 12, you remember Peter's in prison. Amen. I'm sure Peter prayed, but it doesn't give the account of Peter praying there. But it does say that, in fact, by the way, Peter is in between two guards and he's chained up. He can't move. And the Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. The church prayed for Peter. There needs to be a time of prayer. If there's ever a time in the history of our country where we need prayer, people say, well, yeah, it's when we were in Iraq, it's when we were in Desert Storm, it's when we were in Afghanistan, it's during the crisis with the Twin Towers. It's all, that's what we need. No, we need prayer right now. Amen. Every time we need prayer in our country, it's now that we need prayer. So there was a prayer made for Peter. You remember what happened there. The angel of the Lord comes in. Peter thinks he's dreaming. The angel of the Lord comes in. The chains come off of Peter. He has to encourage Peter to stand up and walk away. Peter walks away. Peter thinks he's still dreaming. He walks out. Gets out of the prison, does not realize he's not dreaming until he gets outside the gate of the prison. Then he says, well, hey, you know, and I'm free. He goes to the house where prayer is wanted to be made for him, and he knocks on the gate. Rhoda comes over to the gate, sees him. She's so excited, she doesn't even let him in. She runs back to the house, lickety-split, and tells Peter's out there. Well, man, why didn't you let him in? That's what I would have said, you know. They didn't believe her. They had to go out and see for themselves. But prayer was, boy, what a lack of faith in them. They were praying for him. What do they think is going to happen? Amen? You know what? Don't have a lack of faith. Let's have a life of prayer. Not lack of faith, but a life of prayer as the children of God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all supplication and prayer, he says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. But we ought to be praying, especially for the believers today, amen. We ought to be praying for believers. We ought to be praying for God to save the wicked, those who are not saved, those who are not born again, those who do not know Jesus Christ is our Savior. I still pray for this man over here. And I pray for his wife. I talked to him this morning, just a little bit out here again. He caught me coming out of my trailer before I come in. We've become friends, you know, he's a friend. And I got to talk to him a little bit, Brother Dave. And I told him, I said, yeah, I got to go now, but I got to get in the church. He says, yeah, he said, go preach them, go save them wicked sinners, you know. And I said, you know, I said, I'm waiting for you to come over there and come in. He said, oh, don't hold your breath. I said, what are you saying? If I hold my breath, I'll pass out before you get there? And he said, I said, I'll tell you what, if you walk in that back door on me one day, I said, I'll pass out just from you coming into the church. How's that, you know? And if he came in, I'd act like I was passing out, amen, just to show him I could do it, you know. God's good, amen. We need to pray. We need to pray. I'm praying he'd get saved one day. Still praying before it's too late. He's heard it. He's heard it. Many, from me, from you, from other people here, you know, from other preachers here. Clarence Heflin witnessed to him one night over there too, you know, and Clarence was a biker. Amen. Well, I tell you, God's good, isn't he? Well, I'm praying that he'll get saved one day. Yeah, I hope he's just on the verge, you know. I rejected it for so many years myself, and then all of a sudden one day God got a hold of my wicked heart, amen. Saved my wicked soul. Well, not only was there praying, but look what he says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, where? Unto God. It wasn't none of this bebop stuff that you would hear, you know. I don't think they sang anything about themselves. They didn't pray. I don't think their prayer was this: oh God, deliver us from this hellish hole that we're in right now in the dark time of this night and where we're sitting. No, I think their prayer was, God, praise you, thank you, Lord, for putting us in a position where we can share the gospel even here. I think that was the kind of prayer Paul maybe was praying and Silas was praying, that they were giving praises to God no matter where they were at, no matter what was going on. They were praising God for what was happening in their life and singing, man. Here they come, not only that, but they're singing praises to God. They weren't singing some song about Johnny Be Good or anything else. They were singing holy praises to God. I don't think they were singing praises about themselves and how God brought them here. I think they were just praising God and singing praises to God. A holy God, a righteous God, a pure God. That word sing shows up in the scriptures. Not sing, sang, song, singing, but sing shows up in the scriptures 119 times. Boy, God has something to say about singing. He says in Exodus 15:1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, here's the song: I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They didn't even say that he spared us gloriously. They say he hath triumphed gloriously. All the praise goes to God. Nothing about man, nothing about the individual, but everything about God. So many songs today talk about the individual rather than talk about God. Amen. Boy, let's get back to singing the songs we sang here this morning, and Jesus Loves Me, and holy songs of a holy, righteous, pure God. Amen. We need to sing in the darkness, in that dark time they're singing. Oh, in Exodus 15:21, there's 20 verses later, Miriam sings the same song. Amen. She sings the same. Now it's getting repeated. Amen. Aren't you glad when songs get repeated? I love to hear them, some of them old songs, you know, and it was settled long ago and things like that, you know, and just giving God the honor and the glory for what he's done in our lives. Psalm 9, verse 1 through 2 says, to the chief physician upon Bethlehem, David wrote this: I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name. I will sing praise to thy name. Now watch. O thou Most High. They recognize who God is. Boy, he will sing praise to the name of the Most High God. Singing. Singing is an important thing in our lives. At midnight, it'll help bring you out of some different difficult times and difficult things. And when my wife's going through things, sometimes she'll sing. I'll come up downstairs sometimes from our trailer, in the other trailer, and she'll be down in the, either sitting in her chair reading her Bible, or she'll be up fixing coffee when I come down there. Sometimes she's standing there, she's fixing her coffee while she's waiting for that Keurig to finish. You know, those things start to get plugged and go slow, you know. I don't mind, because she'll stand there and she'll start singing sometimes. It just blesses my heart to hear her sing. Now, you don't necessarily want to hear me sing, amen. My kids tell me when I sing, or my wife does too, she says, honey, those words don't go with that song. I said, listen, leave me alone. It's my song. I'm sing how I want to sing it, amen. Yeah, if you only had the right tune, you're mixing a couple of tunes. Who cares about mixing two or three tunes here? It sounds good to me, amen. Yeah, shake their head, you know, and they just laugh at me. Yeah, my song, hallelujah. Hey, get a song, hallelujah. If you got all you memorize in one song, then memorize one song and don't worry about it, amen. Singing would do something for you. So Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in hymns, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how you want me to sing, in my heart, amen. Not out loud, hallelujah. But isn't God good to us, amen? He gives us a voice to be able to raise up to him and to pray to him and to seek his face. And to, you ever been in a deaf church, preacher? I've been in meetings where just, you know, it's just amazing. And they try to sing. And it sounds like a bunch of confusion. It really does, because they can't hear anything. But boy, they're just, and they're praising God. Boy, what a blessing it is. I've been, man, it gets exciting to me to watch that, you know. And then to see their song leader up there, and he can't sing either, but he's going, you know, doing all that hand. Boy, I tell you, and the songs they sing, and how they're so fluent in what they do. Well, what a blessing it is to be able to see that kind of. I love to watch an interpreter who knows what they're doing. Amen. What a tremendous job to see these individuals singing for the Lord. Brother Steve Weir down in Orlando, Florida, has a deaf ministry in his church, and there's a guy who leads them in singing, can hear and speak, but he's, boy, just so fluent in what he does. And then to watch the people respond and sing the same song, you know, just a blessing to see that, you know. Then watching how they praise the Lord and thank God for what he's done in their own very lives, amen. Well, there ought to be singing, amen. You don't have to sing to have singing, hallelujah. It ought to be in your heart, though, amen. And then look what happens. Miles in at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Not only do we see singing, praying and singing, but we see listening. They were listening. Listen, the prison I was in was six floors high, and there were a couple four-man cells, but there was about 100 men per row of cells, and you have six high, so you'd have about 600 men on one side of the cell block. And if somebody was down here and it was quiet, at the middle of night, if somebody's down here and they're talking, preacher, in number one cell, you could hear them up in number six on the sixth, or number 50 on the sixth floor. You could hear a conversation going. Sometimes you could pick up a word. Not all the time, but sometimes. It was so hollow in there. I don't know what this prison here was like. I don't think they had six high. I think it was just tunnels, holes in the ground, brother. I think it was a wicked place deep in the prison. But these men prayed and they sang. And the Bible says, and the prisoners heard them. I don't think they were maybe praying loudly, you know, I don't know. I think Paul had a voice that he could lift up. I don't think they were singing at the top of their lungs. I think they were singing praises to God, but they were heard by every man in that prison. To me, that's a miracle alone, amen. By every man in that prison could hear what they were saying. So here, Paul and Silas, as they're sharing songs and praying, and no doubt maybe some of these men have already heard them preach. I don't know. But the Bible tells us in Mark 7:14, Jesus says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said to them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand it. Now listen to me. If you don't listen, you will never understand. You hear me? If you don't listen, you will never understand. You need to hear what the Word of God says. And listen to the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. If you don't listen, you will never understand. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? If you reject one part, you'll reject another. Amen? So we need to accept it all. We need to listen to what the Bible says to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Psalm 81, verse 10 through 11 says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and would none of me. They would not listen. They had nothing to do. He said, I don't want to do it. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear what you have to say. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. They still wouldn't listen to them. He brought them to a land of milk and honey, and they wouldn't listen to them. In 2 Kings 17:14, it says, notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like the neck of their fathers, and did not believe in the Lord, that did not believe in the Lord their God. Well, I tell you what, how sad. There's people today sitting in churches, harden their neck to the things of God. You ever had anybody harden their neck to your preacher? It's like this. You're talking to them, here you go. Stiff neck. Let us turn the other way, and boy, I tell you what, I like to tell them, look at my God-given eyeballs, amen. You ever had a kid do that? Your kid ever do that to you? They just sort of look away and look in the other way. And, you know, they don't like to rebuke, you know. Well, I tell you what, my friend, that's what God says happens. And that's what happens to many Christians. They don't listen to the Word of God. They turn their neck. They get hardened neck. They won't listen to what God has to say. We need to come back to what the Bible says, amen, as believers in Jesus Christ. They prayed, they sang, and then the prisoners heard. There was a praying, a singing, and a listening. And the Bible says, you could even say there was a quaking. I don't have that point in my you put that in yours, preacher. There was a quaking. Look what he says. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. By the way, it just happened. No, it didn't just happen. It was a great earthquake, amen. You just see on the news this morning, the earthquake that just struck down in, was it North Carolina and Tennessee and part of Kentucky and somewhere else down there. It hit like four states just recently. You know, I forget how big it was. They just had one the other day, a 5.1 in California, just a couple of days ago again, 2 days ago or 3 days ago, 5.1 in California. Earthquakes hitting in places where you never thought an earthquake would hit here. We expect it in California, amen. But we've had them in Ohio. We've had them over down in Pennsylvania, down by Ohio and Pennsylvania, and it moved all the water table over. People had to drill new wells a couple of years ago, Pastor, you know, from an earthquake that hit. You know, you got them all. I don't know if there's a state around that hasn't had an earthquake. Maybe, I don't know. But we've had them in Michigan, you know. So, just expect it's going to happen. Here there was a quake and it was an earthquake. It wasn't by chance that this earthquake happened. It wasn't by accident that this earthquake happened. It didn't just happen because of the shift of the plates. God shifted the plates. God said, all right, here we go. And so watch what happens. The Bible said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. Watch. And everyone's bands, that reminds me of shackles there, were loose. Every man's bands were loose. Now, I can understand the doors opening up, but every man's bands, everybody in that prison, preacher, and probably everybody in that deep part of the prison had bands on, you know, were in the stocks. Every man's bands, everybody, they were free. Now, can I tell you what happened when I was in prison? If there were an earthquake happen, and the doors would open up, where do you think I would have been?
Gone.
Yeah, I wasn't going to stay there, man. I'd been on my way to Mexico or something, amen. Probably got shot by a drug cartel, you know, back in the 70s, you know. I don't know. I'm just saying, I would not have been there. I'd taken off. And so the Bible says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. If he didn't kill himself and the prisoner had been fled, it was going to be a torturous thing for him. It might have been more just cutting off his head. There might have been some torture involved because he let all these prisoners go. He's scared to death. And I believe, Pastor, he probably heard maybe some of the singing and some of the praying, because it doesn't say they sang and they prayed at midnight and then immediately this happened. Amen. I think he heard some of this. He falls asleep. The earthquake happens. Now he wakes up. But Paul, in verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Why would a hardened criminal stay other than God was involved? God was involved. And they saw it. And they heard Paul and Silas. And they knew that he had been beaten. That they had been beaten. He knew they'd been ridiculed and laughed at and spit upon. He knew that they were in the stocks. They knew they were in the stocks just like them. Boy, and here these men stay. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Then we see a seeking. That's the next thought, a seeking. Verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've only had one person in all these 33 years, 32 and a half years of evangelism and 41 years of full-time ministry and 46 years of salvation and a half. I've only had one time somebody ask me, what must I do to be saved? I've had people say what I need to do. I've had people say, how do I get saved? I've had people say, you know, how does this happen? How does this take place? You know, I've had people ask, but only one time. Here, this guy says, what must I do to be saved? There's a seeking. He knows there is something. He knows there is something there that they have that he doesn't. All the people are there. And he knows now that there's something going on bigger than himself. He knows there's something that is happening that has never happened before. And probably, I believe, it never happened again. But he's convinced that what they have is right and what he has is wrong. So he seeks them. And he asks them, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, in Acts 2:37-38, it says, "Now when they had heard this when Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent." By the way, your repentance here is not your salvation. It brings you to that. Amen. Repent and be baptized. You look at here, too many people put the stock just in repent, but there's no prayer, there's nothing else. But, you know, we need to believe. You know, I repented many times before I got saved. But I was going to hell. When he talks about repentance here, he's talking about believing, trusting, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. So he said, repent and be baptized. And baptism doesn't save you either. He said, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hey, let me ask you a question. What are you seeking today as a child of God? What are you seeking? Self-satisfaction or pleasing the Lord? What are you seeking today? Do you seek to please the Lord, or do you seek for self-satisfaction? Do you seek the Lord in your daily life? Do you seek the Lord in your walk with Him? Do you seek your Lord in your Bible study? Do you seek your Lord in your prayer life? Do you seek the Lord in your singing? Do you seek your Lord in the listening of His Word? We ought to, amen. We need to seek the Lord as the children of God. We need to see what He has for each one of us as born-again believers. Well, look with me, if you will, again also. He says, and he brought them out of the out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, now here you go, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That means, if a person really gets saved, it ought to be an influence on those he is around, especially those he lives with. Well, what happened here was they're all getting the gospel. Amen. So not just this jailer, but everybody here is getting the gospel of Jesus. I was the first one in my family, my immediate family, to get saved. I've had the privilege of seeing my brother get saved and his wife get saved, seeing all my grandkids get saved. I've had the privilege, Pastor, of seeing all my brother's children get saved, and many of his grandchildren have been saved, and I've had the privilege of seeing two stepsisters get saved. One when I was preaching on hell one night, and then one who came and asked me after her husband died, she told me she needed to be saved, led her to the Lord. I had the privilege of leading one of my stepbrothers to the Lord in my dad's backyard at 10 o'clock at night, and mosquitoes biting us like crazy, but he got saved. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, his wife, after they were leaving the house, she said, "Boy, I've seen a change in Ronnie." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Ronnie got saved. That's what I need." And she got down on her knees in a gravel driveway in front of my dad's house, in front of my vehicle, and got saved. Amen. And boy, what a change took place. I've seen nephews and nieces get saved. I've seen great nephews and nieces get saved. I tell you, just saved. Amen. God's so good. Amen. In the saving of souls. Isn't God good? Amen. In the saving of souls. Was God good to you? You save your soul. You're born again. Amen. Saving. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's his business. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." That's anybody, anywhere. Aren't you glad for that? Anybody for anywhere includes you and everybody else in the world. He's able to save to the uttermost, or that also means completely, fully, totally, not halfway. Amen. Seeing that he ever lived to make intercession for them. Now look at me again. We're almost done. Thank you for sticking with me. Watch what he says, verse 32. He says, "And they spake unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them." That's him and all that were in his house. That includes family. It could, a lot of people lived together back in those days, preacher, amen. Sometimes mother and father were in the home. Sometimes and nephews and nieces. It just depends on who was there. Servants, I imagine this man maybe had servants because he had a high position in the government as a prison keeper. Maybe he had servants. I don't know, but the Bible says in the same hour of the night, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, watch, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Well, we see not just a saving and a seeking and a praying and a singing and a listening, but we see a baptizing. Amen. Let me make this statement to you. If you have been saved and you have never been baptized, then you can't be right with God. Because baptism is the first step of obedience to the Lord. The first step of obedience. And if you don't follow that step of obedience, then how can you be right with God if you're not obeying the Lord? Well, you might do a lot of good things. You might give your tithe. You might attend church. You might do a lot of good things. But you need to make sure your heart is where God would have it. If you've never been baptized, then you need to be baptized. And I'm not talking about baptism before your salvation. I was baptized when I was 11 years old. You know, but I wasn't saved. When I get saved, guess what? I got baptized. As soon as I got out of prison, that's the first thing I did, bro. I got baptized. Amen. And baptism is an important step in a born-again believer's life. It ought to take place. And after you're saved, not if you were sprinkled when you were a baby, you know, in the Catholicism or Episcopalianism or Lutheranism or anything else that's an ism out there. Amen. And not if you were baptized in any other church. I'm talking about salvation and then baptism. Salvation and then baptism. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, the emphasis there is not on baptism, so I want to show you that. Because the very next part of that verse says this, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." The emphasis is on believing, not baptizing. Amen. Baptism is an important part of your salvation. When you get saved, you get baptized to prove what has taken place inside of your heart as a child of God. The Bible says in Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000 people getting saved and baptized. Can you imagine that? Boy, I wonder how many were involved in that. I wonder how long it took them to baptize 3,000 people. Probably all the apostles were there, amen. But how many? I'm just wondering, who all did they? I wonder if they got somebody else in place to help them, brother. I don't know. You know, maybe just dive in and I'll bring you up, you're baptized. I have no idea how they did it. No, I believe that they did it just the right way. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to newness of life. Amen. And boy, what a line that would have been. Could you imagine baptizing 3,000 people down here in this little lake, brother? Man, hallelujah. Well, Bible says Acts 8:12, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the same in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." I don't believe baptism should be taken lightly. I don't believe it should be taken lightly. It is the first step of obedience for every born-again believer after they've been saved. Now, I'll make this statement because this sort of sometimes bothers me. I don't know what you do here, preacher, but I can never understand why when children get saved or sometimes when adults get saved that we make them go through a baptismal class to get baptized. I don't understand. I guess it don't make sense to me because, well, they don't understand baptism. What's to understand? Amen. If you can understand salvation, you can surely understand baptism. Amen. If you can understand one, you can surely understand the other. If you've never been baptized, I would encourage you today. If you've never been saved, I would encourage you today. And I'd ask, what are you seeking today? Again, self-satisfaction or seeking to please the Lord? We ought to be seeking to please the Lord. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know where you're at today as a born-again believer, as a child of God, but I hope you're saved. Is there anybody in here this morning, maybe with an upraised hand, would say, "Mike, I've never been born again, I've never been saved, but I'd like to know Jesus Christ, I'd like to know more about this. Could you pray for me?" Anybody at all, just slip your hand up and say, "Would you just pray for me?" And I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to pray for you. Anybody at all this morning? All right. Amen. Anybody else this morning? Just say it. I need it, but I'm not there. I've not done it. Second question, Brother Mike, would you pray for me? Because the Lord showed me some things this morning to help. How about amen? Anybody else? Raise your hand. God bless you. Amen. Number of hands. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just ask you this. If you raise your hand about salvation, just look up here for a minute. Just look at me for a minute. Just shake your head yes or no. Don't say anything out loud, okay? You're not sure you're saved. Am I correct? Right. Would you like to be? Would you slip out and come? Come on up. Ask them. Some of you others, now you raise your hands, you might pray for me. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning. About the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you get up and come to the altar and I'll pray for you. How about it? God bless you. Amen. You just get up and come. Just get up and come. Amen. Just slip out and come. God bless you. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. Let the Lord do what He wants to do. He's showing you something from the Word that will help you today. Amen. How about it? Slip out and come. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so good to us. And Father, we don't deserve this. We don't deserve your goodness. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your mercy. But Father, this morning I pray for these who slipped up and come forward. God, that you'd have your will and your way accomplished in their lives. That you'd be magnified, Father. God, I pray for your will to be done. Lord, help them today. I don't know what area spoke to these folks in, Father. But God, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Strengthen them, Father. Help them through this time of life, this time of midnight, Lord. Just ask that you might be honored and glorified now. Father, pray for the one that stood forward for salvation. Father, praise your holy name. Praise your precious name. Help, Father, to understand. In Jesus' precious name, amen. When you're done, you can go back to your seat and just remain quietly for a little bit.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and we'll go ahead and dismiss. Appreciate again Dalton. We can call him Brother Dalton right now, all right? As I ask Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul and came for salvation. Make sure you get by. Let him know when you got saved again and you're excited for his salvation. Hallelujah. And appreciate that. Appreciate again that we can start our revival services here today. Let's go ahead and ask God to do some mighty things this week. He's already done some already this morning, and we praise the Lord for that. Father, thank you and praise you that we could gather in your name, that we could again, Father, just rejoice together in Dalton's salvation, and Father, for a memory of our own salvation, whether you paid our sin debt. And Father, all we had to do was ask and receive you as Savior and Lord of our soul. And Father, that you'd move in and cause again that there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you for our own salvation. Thank you for the miracle of salvation that was accomplished here today. And Father, we just praise your holy name and thank you again for your goodness. Touch now our week. Touch now our day. Touch each life. Touch this little church. And we'll praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you today.